Things are possible. Would they be only beneath? Would they be?
Sunday services here. And since then, we have had the pattern of grace has sustained us, Lord. I thank you for caring for us since the beginning of the week, your guidance, your protection, the supply of our needs, Lord, your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing us to your house after the activities of the day. As our manner of life, Lord, we are grateful. You have called us to this wonderful solemn service. Lord, where we lift our heart before you in prayer, a period of sweet hour of prayer. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for making a way for us to be here. Thank you for some of our people that are still on their way, or some that perhaps because of circumstances beyond their control will not be here at this moment. We have Lord, and your blessings will be the portion of every one of us. A short time of exaltation, Father, Lord, will you come down and make use of peace to lift our faith up. Lord, to draw us closer to you. Master Savior, to meet our needs, to grant our desires. Lord, that you, as we have come the way we came, may we make this place better than we came here. That is our desire, Lord. For no man comes to your presence, Lord, and go out the same way. Lord, we know that it's either positive or negative, but our portion, Heavenly Father, is the positive one. For we are here and needy people, and we know that you are the only one that can meet our needs. So we look up unto you this hour that you will come down. Let it not be as at other times. Lord, maybe that is somebody that just comes as a routine, or that just wants to come to mark register, or so that it can be seen. Master Savior, we pray that our motive an objective of coming to your house will be, Lord God Almighty, to come and meet with you. For it is what we expect that we get from this service. Thank you, Eternal Father. May you forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Anything that the enemy can lay hold upon, Lord, to accuse us or to hinder our prayers. Master, may you stand for us this moment. Lord, help us to have the standard of ourselves. Master, as we stand in your presence, that you will address our needs. And when you are addressing our needs, Master, may we surrender ourselves to you. May you take all the glory and honor. Take control, Father, as we commit ourselves to you, may you have your way. Send your inspiration and anointing upon us in the place, in the time of prayer, so that we pray with faith in our heart, Lord. Thank you, everlasting Father. May you take glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. God bless you. Happy to be here again as we open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So take a little test and then draw out a little exhortation for this service. Trust the Lord and bless us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read from verse 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he has given thanks, he break it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he drew the cup, and when he had sought, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning Lord, but the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. We thank the Lord for the grace upon us again to be in his house. I have pushed this to this time. I think because the week before I was supposed to travel to anyone that I was supposed to. Taking the Wednesday service to week, but and after coming back to we have to wait for this time. God bless you all. We want to quickly look at the sermon the prophet titled Discerning the Body of the Lord. That is the topic, but my subject is discerning myself. Having the summary of myself. Well, just trust that we will be able to hit the point here that we want to emphasize. Now, the word discernment is has a dictionary meaning, and I want to emphasize two that are relevant here. One of the meanings of the provided by the dictionary says the ability to perceive differences that exist. Discernment. We're talking of discerning, having discernment of myself, having discernment of my spiritual condition, having discernment. That's the part we want to talk today. No. Having discernment of ourselves has several branches. but we are looking at the physical part, the spiritual part.
Because the prophet told us that a man can be healed of a sickness today, and tomorrow they can still be sick of the same thing. And if a man is healed of a spiritual sickness, which is sin of the soul, in other words, if a man is born again, he is forever saved. He can never be lost. So that is the emphasis. And I want to look at the spiritual side of the sermon first. Is that the ability to perceive differences that exist? And then there are so many of them. Let me just give up so that you understand why I'm picking this. One of the meanings is the ability to distinguish judgment. The other one says the act. If you have your phone, you just go to this phone in the channel in the phone. You will have all of this, depending on the type of phone you are using. The ability to distinguish judgment. The act of distinguishing between things. And another one says the ability to distinguish. He said the act of distinguishing between things. And the other one says the ability to distinguish between things. The semantic thing. Then the ability to perceive differences that exist. Then the other one says the condition of understanding. Well, another one says artistic discrimination, taste, appreciation, passiveness. The other one says the ability to make wise judgment. And then the last one says discretion in judging objectively. Discretion in judging objectively. Discretion, that is, using your discretion to do something. When there are two things to be done, you just have to know that, okay, out of those two, which one is the priority? That using your discretion to determine out of two things, which one is discretion, which one is the first thing, the priority to be done. That using your discretion to do, to be able to do things, two things, one thing out of two. You have to determine out of these two which one is most pressing. In other words, the priority. Now, discretion in judging objectively is one of the meanings that I'm picking. And I'm also picking the meaning, the ability to perceive differences exist. But majorly, discretion in judging objectively. Now, to judge objectively means that if it's your son, if it's your daughter, if it's your wife, if it is yourself, you are going to say the truth about it. That judging objectively. Now, that is where we come to having discernment of myself. You have to be objective in looking at your spiritual life in the light of God's word. You can be patted on the back, you can be braced, you can be locked, you can be this. You can be involved in activities in the church, you can be this, you can be so, every other thing, but you must have discernment of yourself. That's why the Bible says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, except ye be reprobate. You must examine yourself whether you've been in the faith. Praise to God. And then how do you design yourself? Do you use tradition to design yourself? There's a measurement that we use to design ourselves. And that's why the prophet told us that you are asking for Holy Ghost baptism. And you will have an experience. The prophet said, that experience that you have, he said, place it on the world. Look at what the word of God says, that spirit, that Holy Spirit will do when he enters into you. And then you watch your life in the light of that word. Then you have to be objective. In other words, you don't have to be partial. You have to judge it the way you judge another person that you don't know. You have to judge yourself. Have to discern it of yourself in the light of the scripture. What the Bible says a Christian will be. Am I? And how do you come to a conclusion? In the light of God's word. What God says.
I'm reading from paragraph 27 of the discerning the body of the Lord.
Now the prophet said, discernment is so great. It's a great thing in this Christian race. Discernment of ourselves. Until the prophet tells us in this quote that it is going to display, paragraph 27. He said, now our eternal destination is not altogether based or determined by what we see and what we hear. Our eternal destination is not altogether based upon what you hear. You can hear a fine sermon, you can hear a rough sermon. Rock in the center is hitting. It's hitting here and there, it's hitting here and there, evangelical. You can hear teaching, you can hear this, you can hear that, you can hear preaching, fine preaching, you can hear someone that can tear you to pieces and the rest of it. Someone that will tear one into pieces is to gather you that pieces again. The essence of the sermon is to make you to know that you are not yet in the picture. Because if the sermon will tear you to pieces, it means that you are not gathered already. If you are gathered already, you can't be turned into pieces. I think you understand what I'm saying. Or maybe I should explain myself, because we are speaking on the sermon. The sermon that will make you to be unhappy. Is telling you your spiritual condition. You must have discernment. Because this is the word of God in any form, whether it is preached hot, in the hardest form that you can talk about it, or is preached in the simplest form that everybody will laugh and feel fine and the rest of the day, and after the sermon, everybody will clap their hands and sing and worship and everything. Or is someone that will make you to feel that you have not started. And when you start to worship, your mind will be heavy. The essence of it is for you to have discernment of yourself. To know where what the word of God is talking about. What you see people do, what you see, whatever actions you see, doesn't have any effect upon your eternal destination. Ordinarily like that, as you see, whatever you hear, whether hot like I just said, is not going to have an impact on you until you have discernment of what you are hearing. And what is the discernment? To be able to understand the very purpose why this word is coming. And if you understand the purpose why the word is coming in relation to your spiritual condition, it is then you can be helped. And when you just hear him, and we are going to look at the example of, signs that we don't have the sermon. Signs that we don't have the sermon. We have the examples in the message that the prophet had interaction with. And then we'll see that. So, let us have. So, now our eternal destination, look at this guy. Our eternal destination is not altogether determined. In other words, how we're going to spend our eternity is not determined by what we hear. Or what you see. By what we see or what we hear, but it is determined by what discernment we have of what we see and what we hear. So discernment is so important to you as a person. You are not a Christian and you say you are a Christian. Alright. You have designed yourself wrongly. Why did you come to that conclusion? There are things you have seen in your life that need you to come to conclusions. You see the word of God? Because it was God's word that will give you pass mark.
It is God's word that will send you again. As you hear the sermon, talk. As you hear the preaching, as you hear teaching, as you hear evangelical sermon, it must give you pass mark. It must give you pass mark. It must give you pass mark. Your life being extracted by God's word must give you pass mark. Are you with me? If the word of God does not give you pass mark, and you hear it, and you see that this area of my life, oh God, I am not here where I'm supposed to be. Like that man, or whether it's that sister, that came to give testimony, like, I want to appreciate God that I am not what I ought to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. That is also deep. We want to look at it. It's also very, very deep. Because somebody who is a sinner has been justified. He can say that. I'm not what I used to be. I used to be a sinner. I don't go to church, but now I come to church. Somebody who has been sanctified can also say something. He can also say that. Thank God. I used to love Satan with me. I don't love Satan with me. But it's not from the Holy Spirit. It's not what he ought to be.
A Christian can say it also. Because I agree.
It's always in the Lord. I'm pressing on the upward way. And the prophet told us that the Savior of us, if you ask him or her, what is their desire? We say, more of God.
So our eternal destination, where we are going to end our journey, is not determined by the sermon you hear. Rather, it's determined by what you see, actions and reactions of people, every other thing that is displayed before you. It is based on the discernment that you are able to place upon this action, upon this statement, upon this word, and you sit and look at it, then apply it to your life and see what am I to gain from you, what lesson am I to learn. Because I want to tell you, certain things happen. That somebody will write in a certain way that will be for you to learn from that action of that person. And you say, oh God, help me never to be like this. But if you don't have this something, you will blend in with that person. When the person is in the wrong, you will be carried along with that person. But when you have this something, it will caution you. You will hold on. Because you know that in every circumstance that happens to every child of God, you must caution what you say about it. Because every child of God is special. Let me just emphasize that here. Every child of God is special in the hand of God. And whatever is happening to that person, be careful what comes out of your mouth to that person. Because this mouth will run people out of God's kingdom. The people that will not enter God's kingdom is by their actions and their reactions. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So we must have discernment of ourselves. Examining yourself whether you be in faith.
Let's move on.
Not paragraph 31. But today we are doing things, not discerning any of the word of God. We should have a discernment on everything that we do.
You must have discernment.
And we discern things by God's word.
We are coming there.
It ought to be measured by the word of God. All that Christians do and say should be measured by, we must never forget it. We must never forget it. I was telling somebody, I said, whether it's a small boy or it's a small girl or it's an adult, it is the same way we apply God's word
to resolve issues.
We use the word of God every time. Not that this one is a small boy, or it's a small girl, or it's a this, or this one is an elderly person, or this. It is the word of God that we use. Because if I am a Christian, there is no circumstance that will make me not to apply God's word in any condition. It's the word of God every time. See? So, it ought to be measured by the word of God. All that Christians do and say should be measured by the word of God. Today, people have changed quite a bit.
And they sometimes put more reliability on what the church says than what the world says. They believe that the church has better rights to discern our taste than what the word of God has. For instance, like this, the church might say the days of miracles are past. And many people will believe it because they think the church knows more about it than the Holy Spirit. Well, we know those churches who believe that. You know. Jesus once paragraph that once said that except a man be born again, he can never see the kingdom of God or understand the kingdom of God. And in other words, you cannot discern the kingdom of God until you are born again. So, like I was saying the other Sunday school, was it this last Sunday school or this the other one? Where I was talking about discerning. Who can judge? The person that can judge rightly. Actions and reactions. Is a Christian that is with the scripture says that he that judges a spiritual man judges all things, and he himself is judge of no man. A spiritual man. And a spiritual man is the man that is filled with the Holy Spirit, because that Holy Spirit is the word of God made spirit, dwelling in you, dwelling in me. So when actions are to be taken, the word comes into play. And then you remember what the word of God says about it, and then you apply that. When you do things and you say things and you react things that are contrary to God's word, it means that that part of the world is not quick to injure you. Because your body is to respond to that word. I preach on requirement for the rapture and the requirement for body change a year ago. There, I think that was within April, over a year. I think that was in April. During the Easter, something like that. I remember that. That was before I traveled for my missionary trip. By that time, I preached. Now, one of the things that was emphasized there is the proof that a man knows that he's going in the rapture is that what this Bible says is body obeys it. The body of that man, the body of that woman, obeys what the word of God says. He doesn't put anything in here. Like myself in Sunday school, change the spirit of a frog, put it in the lizard. You will see a funny looking lizard. Change the spirit, take the spirit of the lizard, put it in a frog. You will see a funny looking frog. Instead of a frog pooping, it will be crawling. A lizard that is that long, instead of crawling, it will be hooping. Then it will be a surprise, isn't it? It will be a surprise. The reason is because the nature has been changed. So we are to look at what the word of God says. Don't place your hope upon, don't rely upon anything outside of the confirmation of God's word. It is the word that must give you a pass mark. Not your husband, not your wife, not your son, not your daughter, not your friend, no pastor, no minister. It is God that is going to, is God, the one that will confirm, because it's the one that will take you in the rapture. And if your body is not subject to his word, forget it. As much as Elijah would have loved to be raptured with Elijah, could he do it? He could not go on his own, because Elijah alone had the power was upon. So it's only those upon who that spirit dwells that their body can be subject to what the word of God says. And if the body is not subject now, in the rapture, it won't be subject to it. When that change will come, it won't be subject. Because presently, it is not subject. Paragraph 79. For everything the Holy Spirit does is written in the Bible. Judge all things by the scripture. That is how we discern to see if our discernment is right. You must judge it by the word, your feelings, your ideas, your this, your that, bring it to the world. Your tradition, your this, anything whatsoever that is happening around you, bring it to the world. If the world gives you pass mark, nobody can condemn you. If the world condemns you, I don't care who gives you pass mark. The word that we stand. So we have to do that as we paragraph 91. The promises, Jesus promises, Jesus said, the works that I do, Shall you do also? Even greater than this shall you do. I'm coming up. I want to get something. For I go to my Father. Paul promised that in the last days by the Holy Spirit that the church will fall away. Millions of them. There we come are falling away for men with the envy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Jews breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and dispersers of those that are good. Not the right discernment. People who do those things. Oh, you say that is the communism. That is the so-called Christian. Watch the next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. Power of godliness. Holy Ghost power. What the Spirit is doing in the life of man, they deny it. No spiritual discernment. Praise be to God. Let me just now the sign that we don't have discernment. Now, the sign here, the prophet talks about a lady who wrote something after he finished preaching somewhere, and he talked it in Abraham's pocket. And he said, when you get your credit, Abraham said, I will read it right there. And then Abraham opened it, and he read it. This is what the old man said. A woman met me some time ago when I stuck at that just high. As I could, that was speaking about cigarette smoking. A woman met me sometimes ago, paragraph 54. When I struck at that just as I could, she was a habitual smoker. As he said, put a little note in my pocket, said, read this when you get up. I said, thank you, I will read it now. And I took it out and started reading. She said, it is not polite for a minister in the pulpit to speak against smoking. You have nothing to do with that.
She was not ready to have the sermon. That's why the preaching went that area.
She felt that. What is this preacher talking about? I have a right to smoke. It's not your right to talk about it on the pulpit. That will never change. It can never be delivered from that spirit. I say it is my duty to speak against anything that is wrong. God help the preacher that hasn't got the discernment of the right enough or anything that is wrong. A preacher that can't discern the need of his people by the Holy Spirit. God says, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you divide it, I will destroy it. We should preach against it. Trouble of it is we've got too many cigarette smoking preachers. That's why they can't talk about it. When a man is guilty of a thing, he will judge it.
Conscience will allow him to rest.
That's why a man that stands here must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should preach against it. Trouble of it. Too many cigarette smoking preachers. That is what the matter. And they are afraid to say it in their congregation because they know they are guilty too. You see, rightly discerning, rightly divided. And then there's another story here. Another lady was wearing, Brabham was preaching about wearing shorts. And she came to tell Brabham, thank God, the shorts you are talking about, I wear slacks.
She didn't have the right discernment.
And the prophet said that that's worse. That's even worse. You as a woman, to wear that in the public up and down.
It's wrong for you to do it. That very well. It's even worse.
You see, what am I saying is that, you know, discernment.
When people don't have the sermon, they will feel offended at the preacher when the preacher preaches. We allow what is being preached to help them.
To help them to think on their ways and turn to the testimony of God.
Sometimes many people don't have the ability to think on their ways. To think and come to themselves and be able to assess their own lives and look at that in the light of God's word. Like a Christian would. But the Bible says that the Christian judges all things, and he himself is judge of no man.
He looks at his life out of the scripture. If he sees anything, he goes to God. Don't pick it up. He does it. Because he has an God that cleans him from inside.
So that thing keeps him constantly before God. On the sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice on daily basis, is renewed, is cleansed.
He doesn't need anybody to point something to him before he does anything.
But some, the preaching will have to point the attention to him before they realize, and some will not even realize it. The importance of the sermon, as I close, because we have to go into prayer, is this. The prophet told us about the story of a king whose son was killed by a man. And the man was arrested. He was put in the prison. And then they sat on his case and concluded that he must capital punishment. He will kill him. And so where they put him, he has not been eaten. So his lips were dry. You know, he looked so frail, miserable, because he knew that as they are coming for him, he knew that the judgment had been passed, and the next thing is that they will take him to go and kill him. So, and the king told him I think he offended something. Let me not mix it up. Whatever. But the point I'm driving at, I think I remember another story now. That one is not the story I'm talking about, where the king pardoned him and making his son. That's not the one I'm talking about. So, and then the king said they should go and bring him from the prison. He had done what is wrong, was to be. So, when they brought him before the king, he could hardly hold himself. He was vibrating, he was shaking. He could hardly stand up because he knew that in a short while. So, they asked him. So, when he stood before the king asked him and said, "Well, this is your last time, you know it. So what do you want before your life is taken from you?" He said, "I need a glass of water. A glass of water." I want you to pay attention very closely. And well, usually when people are the last stage of life, whatever they requested, they give them. So they went to get glass of water, and then they gave it to him. You could hardly hold the glass of water. You could help it, he was shaking. Then the king told him, "Hold steady." He said, "I will not kill you until you have drank that water." If you pick that statement, "I will not kill you until you have drank that water," he carried that water and threw that water away. "I'm not going to drink it." Because when you say that, and he knew the king to be a righteous man that stood by his word, he threw away the water. He was looking. Everybody was looking at the king. The king there is over. So the prophet was trying to use that one to answer a man that didn't have the understanding of the Bible, yet he has PhD in theology. The man was arguing that atonement was not promised in the Bible, that divine healing was not the atonement, that is, but it's in the Bible, it's in the promise, but it's not in the atonement. The prophet began to use an analogy to knock his argument out. But the understanding we get from that is that the prophet said, if that king is the righteous king, he said, that man cannot be killed. That man is free. He's safe. He said, but that's our God. He can't swallow his word. Now what are we talking about? That man would have died miserably if he did not have his discernment. Or what he had. His destination was determined by the discernment he had of what he had. His life was spared. Because he has the sermon of what he had. Let's bow down our heads. When the word of God is preached, it is for our deliverance. It is for our healing. It's for our salvation. It's for our spiritual blessing. It's for the transformation of our lives. The water of separation to separate us from all unbelief. The word of God is the absolute to the believer.
When you have discernment of yourself in the light of God's word, your attitude will change. Go to God in prayer this evening. Look at your life. Be sincere with yourself. When we say be sincere, we mean be objective. To be objective, you have to be sincere. The way God will assess you is the way you are going to assess yourself. What is your spiritual state? What challenge do you have in your spiritual life? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you take communion? You take communion because you have judged yourself to have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without that conclusion. But are you truly filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you have discernment of what the body of the Lord means? What that communion is? Do you have discernment of it? Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. To have discernment of myself. Because if you don't have discernment of yourself, you cannot be, you can't be desperate. You'll be rejoicing when you're supposed to be sorrowful. You'll be sorrowful when you're supposed to be rejoicing. Because you don't have discernment. It's either way. It's so important that it determines our eternal destination of what we have had, of what we have seen. The gospel is presented in its simplicity, in its simplest form, and that is why many people stumble over it. Having discernment of ourselves. Nobody will discern you yourself because even when you are, when your circumstance is told you, you take offense. Talk to the Lord. It is between you and God. The Bible says, hearing will they hear, they will not understand. But not for the elect. The elect must understand. It's a must for God to work it out for them. It's a must. God cannot help it. He must help them. But he does it by giving them discernment to discern their lives. So that they can cry unto him because he helps only those who cannot help themselves. When a man sees his life, when a woman sees her life, and he sees that, oh, this area of my life, I need God's help. This area of my life, I need God's help. Somebody that comes to the church and still painting. That comes to the church and still wears trousers at home. He wears trousers in school. Comes to the church and still using all this pancake or what do they call it? Painting face, powdering your face, your mouth and the rest of it, using lipsticks. You don't have discernment of the midst of the people where you are gathering. Let alone not the discernment of what the word of God says. The only person that can help us to have discernment of ourselves. Because when you know what you need, you cannot rest. Desperation will set in if you have discernment of God's judgment that is coming upon the face of the earth. You have discernment that rapture is going to take place, and if you are not in the condition you should be, you'll be left behind. It should make you to almost die at the altar. Knowing fully well that if God does not help you,
Nobody can help you. Your husband cannot help you. Your mother, your father, your nobody can. You can't help yourself.
Anna knew the husband could not help her. She went to the temple. And her story changed.
Most times we don't have a discernment of who a Christian is. And that is why we say things to them sometimes that will hurt not to them. That's why we react to them sometimes the way we hurt not to them. Because we don't have a discernment of who Christians are. And sometimes people suffer those things and they don't know. Because God honors his people. He respects his people and he expects his people to be respected. His people.
As we bring this part of the request to a close. Well, we wouldn't know if there's somebody there. I mean somebody who really knows that he needs God's help. You need to have the discernment of yourself. You know you don't. But I want you to listen to my request. You know you don't have the discernment of yourself. And you want God to help you. The discernment of things. You can raise your hand while I ask the pastor to pray for us.
My blessed Lord, we come before the throne of mercy here in this hour after we have received a word of invitation. Have you decided to go? Once Heavenly Father, when it comes to the things of God, it takes you and you alone to make it known to one. You cannot learn it in school, neither can we learn it in any other way except to reveal it. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we have spoken to you in prayer after we have heard this word of exhortation, whichever part of the sermon concerns us so much, whatsoever it is in our lives as individual, that we are looking unto you for. Lord, may you meet us at this point, a time, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we might have discernment of ourselves through the preaching of your word, that we might know where we are lacking, and where we have the past man according to your word and the help of your spirit, that we might rejoice, which is a joy that cannot be quenched by no one. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name. As you have taught us in your word, you say, whatsoever thing we desire, when we ask in prayer, we should believe that we have received, and then shall we have it. May that be our portion. We leave the rest of the service in your hands. We pray you inspire us and let us grant option to pray, O God, and become a saint. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Bless your servant and the permission for the virtue that has led to you. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.
Your joy may be full.
May I join you full
in Jesus' name.
As before I hand over to the
associate, let's sing from number 16. Cleanse me, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my thought today. Oh, try me, O Savior. I pray, see there be, O some way, there way in me. Cleanse me from
Amen. Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you very much for picking up your house for this midweek prayer meeting. We want to thank you for the worship aspect of the service. We thank you, Lord, for time of preaching. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings of your word. And we thank you for the hour of prayer, when we have the privilege to speak back to you after you have spoken to us. We also have the privilege to commit our needs, requests, and desires unto you, and that of our brothers and sisters, and the entire bride of Christ. We thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have accomplished in this service. We bless your holy name. We pray, Lord, that the blessings will be permanent in the life of each and every one of us. May your spirit water their minds, that the enemy will not succeed to uproot any of them out of our hearts. We ask you to bless and replenish your servant that you have used, lift up the honor of his ministry, and that of the rest of your servants. Lord, all that we have placed before you tonight, the faith we have in you to hold with your unchanging hand, and Lord, continue to exercise faith in your promises. Give to every one of us. Lord, we pray, dear God of heaven, that there will be testimonies that we are accompanying all that has taken place tonight. That, Lord, the angel of the Lord will confirm those blessings unto us. Those who are sick and who are anointed with oil and prayer of faith have been offered for them. May you effect the healing in their body. May you help their unbelief, take away doubt from them. May they go believing and confessing that, Lord, you have done it for them. Let it be their Father. As you brought us in safely, we will be going out very soon. May you guide us to our homes. Those who are going to short distances, those who are going to very far distances, may the angel of the Lord take each one home safely. Give us a peaceful night rest. The rest of the activities of the week, as we thank you for that of yesterday, you helped us. We are grateful to you. Thank you for joining us to give to those who travel today. Lord, the journey ahead of some of us also tomorrow, and the program at APT. Lord, we'll be back by your grace on Friday. We pray that you oversee everything. Lord, take glory and honor unto yourself. The program that will be here, and by your children that will be there, may you take them there safely. And Lord, help each one of us to be the true ambassador of Christ and of the Lord, glorious message you are given to us. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, we tarry and we are still here by Sunday. Gather us again our numbers and send your blessings unto us. Thank you, gracious Father. We have these petitions with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Brother, listen. When we spoke on phone, so that we could each other. We thank the Lord for seeing us through the program, the service of songs. And you are yesterday. I think quite a number of us were there. We thank God for the turnout. Just it was an encouragement to our sisters and their siblings. They have traveled to APT today with some of a couple of our brethren, and we will go there this evening just around the time of the service, when the service was starting.
Some of us hope to travel tomorrow, and we convert your prayers to you. That get there safely, and the program that will be waiting for us tomorrow there, and also on Friday will be the funeral service and interment before we take off to return back. We convert your prayers. But we also pray for you concerning the ones in the body here for success. God bless you. So we rise. Don't beat our face. Because sometimes we finish playing this thing and then we
yeah.
Oh, my loving brother.